This is a Clearview Original.
This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. Ryan, are you looking to boost your immune system?
I'm so ill that I fainted right before we turned the show on.
I hate to hear it, but I do think I have a solution. Introducing Mighty Muscadine, king of the superfruits.
Sounds like a superhero.
Well, these guys are practically superheroes. Every single one of their products are packed with organic polyphenol content, essential micronutrients, and I'm telling you, these grapes are just dripping with antioxidants designed to strengthen your body's defenses. It's going to help you stay resilient all year round.
And these guys have everything. They have grape juice, they have all natural energy shots, protein powders, they got seed oil, toothpaste, body lotion, shampoo. And here's the best part. You can use promo code TODAY, that's T-O-D-A-Y, to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, use promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on your purchase of Mighty Muscadine products.
And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. So don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now, that's MightyMuscadine.com, and experience the difference firsthand. Remember, that's promo code T-O-D-A-Y. A healthier, happier you is just a click away. With that said, let's start the show.
Welcome to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find our show online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah, suggestions for future topics, or if you just want to write in and say hi, 252-582-5028. That number goes directly to us, and we love hearing from our Clearview Today Show family. You can also email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and we want you guys to help us keep the conversation moving forward. And you can do that by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and your family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely nothing less for any reason. And today is March 26th, which means our date the word is coming to us from Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ.
You know, I have had the privilege of leading our student ministry here, and some of the students that I have worked with have been adopted. Mm-hmm. And they have a unique perspective when it comes to passages like this. So I always love to talk with them and hear their, you know, their background and hear what the adoption process was like for them. Some of them don't remember being adopted. They were very, very young.
Right.
But others do remember, you know, being in foster care, bouncing from home to home, but then finally finding that forever family.
Uh-huh.
And just to hear them talk about adoption and just the love and acceptance they felt when they were welcomed into that family, it just really has put a new perspective on this for us being adopted into the family of God. We were outsiders. We were foreigners. We were children of God's wrath. But because of Christ, we are adopted as sons and daughters into his family.
There's a really great video that went viral a few years back of this kid at Christmas. I don't know if you ever saw it, but it was this kid at Christmas time. And he was a foster kid. I think mm-hmm. he was living with a foster family, and they got him like one present. It was like this. It was like this weird thing. I don't remember if it was this one present or if it was like his last present, but he had one.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they wanted to film him opening it. So he opened it up and it was adoption papers. And they were like, "Hey, we want you to be part of our family." And the kid just like broke down and started crying. It was really, really emotional. But I think about that. I think about just the, like you said, that overwhelming joy, mm-hmm. that sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. And it hits you just all at once. Like, I have a family now.
Yeah.
That's what God has done for us.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Just a reminder, this episode is brought to you in part by the Date the Word app. You can download it for free right now on iPhone and Android. Every single day connects today's date to God's Word with the hope of making it more memorable for you.
It's Tuesday, my friend.
That's right. It's Tuesday.
You know what time it is on Tuesday.
Welcome to the Gripevine.
Now, I have a gripe today.
Okay.
Here's my gripe for today.
I'm ready.
I typically am the one who interacts with the mail here at church.
Mail time.
Here's the mail, and it makes me want to wail, and I'll tell you why.
Wait. When it comes, I want to wail mail.
Yeah.
But this is just making you sad.
When it comes, I want to wail, why in the world did you put so much tape on the envelope?
Huh?
People, when they send mail, this is not businesses, by the way. This is not like mailers that companies send out official bills, invoices, not like that. This is just people. Like, I want to send a letter to the church, or I'm sending this, you know, communication. they want the mail to be secure. Love that for you. But what I don't love is when you use an entire roll of scotch tape on the envelope to seal it further than the adhesive already does.
Why?
If I have to spend more than 15 seconds getting into an envelope, I'm going to throw it away. I've lost interest.
What if it's a
bill? Don't care. Too bad. Send it again with less tape this time. I won't actually throw it away. But why? I will be very frustrated.
Why do they do that?
I guess because there's maybe some sensitive information inside. Here's the thing. If you're so worried about your mail being tampered with or accidentally opened, just deliver it in person. Just hand deliver it. I'm going to ask Dr. Shaw what his perspective on the mail is. Most of the time, by the time the mail gets to him, it's already been like kind of sorted through. So the mail that gets to him is important. But I'm gonna ask his opinion. 252-582-5028. Let us know if you are one of those mail tapers.
Yeah,
I want to know who you are out there.
So
and I would just, in God's grace and in love, I would just encourage you to make it an email. Just make it an email. 252-582-5028. Visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey. Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation. In the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house, wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show alongside, can I say permaguest? Nicole Shah. Permaguest means
permaguest.
Like, yeah, you're permaguest.
I like
means,
that.
Yeah. I got that from another podcast. So you're not on every episode,
permaguest.
But always coming back. A monthly
well, thank
thing.
Thank y'all for having
permaguest.
Me.
Yeah, absolutely. Ryan was.
I didn't know. I didn't know if you were going to call her Nicole or you were going to call her Mrs. Doctor.
Mrs. Doctor Shaw.
Mrs. Doctor Shaw.
Mrs. Doctor Shaw.
I can get into that. It's better than First
well,
Lady.
Well, hopefully one day she will be a
yeah.
doctor.
Yeah.
Then,
you're
we,
working
can,
on
then
your...
we can say the doctor's shot.
Right now she's finishing up her master's.
Yeah.
But her doctorate will be coming. I think she'll yeah.
stay
very
tuned,
nice.
Listeners
Mrs.
out there.
Mrs. Dr. Shaw.
Yes.
Maybe one
Mrs.
day.
Mrs. Doctor's.
Maybe one day.
Yeah. Because then you
it'll
could be
the
doctor
doctor's,
and...
The doctor's shot.
The doctor's shot. That's what
doctor's
it is. Yeah, maybe. That could be
the
a,
Brothers Grimm. Is
that, could like a, that could be like a new podcast. The doctor's shot.
The doctor's shot.
Okay.
It's kind of doesn't roll off the tongue. The doctor's shot. Then I gotta take a. That's my own grapevine. You were griping a little bit earlier.
I was.
Yeah.
I was griping a little bit earlier.
You came off a little strong, I think.
You know, I got a little heated when I came in this morning and I opened the mail. Let me, Nicole and Dr. Shaw, if I can pose this gripe
sure.
to you and see if we share a gripe
sure.
here. So we live in an age of digital communication, largely.
Right.
Electronic mediums, email, messaging, text, that sort of thing. It's not uncommon, though, that you get the snail mail letter.
Right.
And I'm not talking about like from a business or something. I'm talking about from someone in the congregation. Like maybe it's someone in your family, someone here in the community, whatever. They decide to send you a letter. Love that. What I don't love,
love that.
What I don't love is the additional security measures taken upon the envelope.
They just scared, man.
Well, and okay, so that's great. I'm sorry that you're scared, but I don't need three rolls of scotch tape to encase the envelope in a protective layer. Like, if it's that serious, just hand deliver it to me.
Right.
If you're that worried about, like, someone tampering with the mail or it falling out in the mail, just bring it in person.
Dr. Shaw,
I don't know.
We send a lot of things. We send, like, birthday cards, anniversary cards, greeting cards. Is it church policy to triple tape card envelopes so much that he's already...
No, it's not,
can't
it's
get
not
in.
And it shouldn't be, but if you come from India, then you have to triple, quadruple tape things.
Will they open really? Your stuff up at the post office?
It does happen.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It does happen. And especially internal mail. So we would get letters from friends and family, whatever, back in the day. Mm-hmm. This is going back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And, man, it would come up all torn up.
Really?
They'd be like dragging it through like the ring
barely
or through the mud and stuff.
Surviving. And so we learned, it's like if you're sending any documents to the United States, make sure you tape all the edges.
Really?
All the what do you call it? The
like
flap,
the flaps, the flaps, yep, and stuff.
Don't
everything
trust the adhesive.
Has to be taped.
This wow. thing, the people sitting at the post office just be finishing up lunch. They can't find a napkin, so they just grab your envelope and just.
Well, I will say when I sent stuff to his parents, when I would send pictures, family pictures and things, especially like the big 8x10 sizes, mm-hmm. I would always put them in the big envelope. But in And I would always write, do not bend, didn't matter. So what I learned to do was put like a little piece of like a poster board, like a stiff.
Mm-hmm. Inside
poster,
the envelope?
Inside, so that it would be harder to bend.
Yeah.
So that the pictures would actually get to them, then
try.
It would still be in good shape.
They see that it says do not bend. They're like,
it's like, let's see.
It's a challenge.
Curses.
Do not bend.
Foiled again by poster board.
So poster boy?
Yeah, I like that. Uh-huh. Poster boy.
Poster boy strikes again.
So y'all married. Do you check the mail, Dr. Shah? Do you like get the mail in and sort it, or does Nicole
do
all
it? No, I stopped doing that a long time ago. Nicole does it.
Yeah.
And she'll get all the bills together and all the letters and anything for the boys and the girls when they were at home. And so, she does
that. This might be even a separate grapevine, but this is something my mom did. If your kids got mail, would you open their mail? you open their mail.
I mean, I still do if they don't live at the house, like if something comes for Rebecca or Abigail and they don't live there and I'm afraid it might be something important that they need, I open it up so I can send it to
them. No, you forward it to them. I know. That's illegal.
Not if you're their parents.
We may want to cut that out. I think that's actually illegal.
She's their mom.
Actually, I sent Rebecca. Rebecca, her new card came in the mail, but it came to our apartment, to our house.
So you did a little online shopping with it and then sent it on. Yeah.
Well, no. I did not do any shopping with it, but I did send it to her.
I got you. But you opened it up to see.
Yeah.
Well, I had to because I didn't know what it was. And I was afraid it was, if it had been just like a scam, then I would. Yeah. I just wanted to wait, but
that's
it was
true. Now, now, when you send it to her, did you put it inside of a titanium reinforced envelope and like weld the edges shut and make sure it wasn't going to be able to be opened unless it was in a court of law?
This is the last thing I'm going to say because we need to get into our topic for today. But I remember, speaking of stuff coming in the mail, like all fortified and stuff, when we got Codex Sinaiticus, I think, or Vaticanus. It came in a box that was like a wooden box. It's a facsimile of Codex Vaticanus. It's not the original. That would be cool, though. But it came in a box that was nailed shut.
Yeah.
But it's like, we were like, oh, we just have to pry the box open to get it. But he's like, but you can't. This is like a precious facsimile. It's very, very fragile.
And very expensive.
Very expensive. So we're having to like very gingerly and carefully pry open up. It took us like at least.
It was like a 45-minute process.
45 minutes to get into that box.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember that.
Just so carefully trying to get this thing out.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of just a few hundred copies in the world.
Yeah.
That's
and we have
crazy.
One mm-hmm. at Clear View Church.
You have that one and you have Sinaiticus, right?
Sinaiticus. Sinaiticus is not as expensive as Vaticanus, mm-hmm. but it's also a facsimile.
Yeah.
And it's quite expensive and quite amazing.
Vaticanus is the one where the pages are actually weathered and have the... So mm-hmm. that was why I was like, we're having to pry it open, but we can't like pry it open.
Yeah.
We have to
too much. Bust in there because you don't want to damage it.
Yeah, that was
crazy.
Came
all the way from Italy.
Yeah. They made sure that thing was protected.
Speaking of making sure things are protected, that's
very nice.
Leads into what we want to talk about today.
That
Nicole,
was real nice.
Obviously, welcome to the show today.
Thank you.
We want you on the show because we have that monthly segment we started just last month.
That's
so
right.
This is the second one, but we're going to make this a monthly thing. We talk about marriage and family and issues related to keeping your marriage alive and pursuing God's design for marriage. In light of that, Dr. Shah, what is the encouragement that you want to leave our listeners and our viewers with today?
You know, you often hear that it's the nature of the fire to go out, mm-hmm. that you need to fan the flame of your marriage or the fire in your marriage and all that. But I will also say it's not just that the marriage just sort of dwindles away, but there are elements that come against marriage that try or will actively try to snuff out mm-hmm. your marriage. And these are all kinds of elements.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you know, you have Satan himself who is wanting to destroy marriage because marriage is the bedrock of society. Mm-hmm. And if he can destroy marriage, then our society is gone.
And I think it's important that you say that because we need to understand as we're, you know, relating to our spouses, as a husband, as I'm relating to my wife, wives out there, as you're relating to your husbands, that there is an enemy to your marriage, but that enemy is not your spouse.
Right.
I really appreciate that you said that we have a very real enemy who's trying to dismantle marriage as the bedrock of society.
Right. And build on what you were saying, because I think there's a lot of people out there who need to hear but would disagree that marriage is the bedrock of society, because I think we've lost that a little bit.
Oh, we have. We've lost because marriage is no longer one of those things, especially with this generation coming up. We can get married. We don't have to. We can live together. We can.
Just redefining the idea of marriage.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can redefine it. We don't, you know, and so there's not that importance and there's not that commitment.
Right.
To marriage anymore.
Mm-hmm. And marriage was supposed to reflect the nature of God.
Right.
You know, God made us male and female in his image. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to reflect the unity in the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
So God is one. We don't worship multiple gods. We worship one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Three and yet one.
Yeah.
Now, I know there are people out there who don't believe in the Trinity, or they come from another religion, let's say Islam or whatever, and they mock that and they say, oh, yeah, you say that, say whatever you want to, but you still worship three gods. I'm so sorry that your mental capacity cannot expand that far.
Yeah.
Okay? It works, and we don't have time to get into that.
Right.
But what we're saying is three and yet one.
Yeah.
So also God wanted us as human beings to have a similar kind of unity, even if those it's not going to be the same, because we cannot be two persons in one, but we could be two persons coming together as one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's like you said, it's a reflection. You know, even if the mirror is dirty, even if it's kind of smudged or it's been tarnished, the reflection is still there.
That's right. We are to reflect the image of God.
That's right.
When I've watched you do so many of the marriages in the church and even outside the church, when you say you talk to the people and you talk to the couple that you're marrying and you tell them that, you know, you're coming together, but there's also a third person in your marriage.
Right.
So that is the whole thing with the Trinity, that it's you, your spouse, and God.
Yes. That's right. That's right.
That's right.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of times when people have to listen to episodes like this, or they're confronted with episodes like this, I should say, there's a lot of denial. And I think especially on the part of men, because it's like, I'm not ever going to admit there's problems in my marriage, because if I do that, I'm a failure as a husband, I'm a failure as a man. And we end up introducing shame into our marriage as like almost like a false foundation of our marriage. Like we're building this false reality on shame. How did it get to be like that? Something that God created innocence. How did we get shame introduced so deeply into our marriages?
No, three-letter word, sin.
Mm.
S-I-N, sin is what caused this breakdown.
Yeah.
Where it was supposed to be, and the two shall become one flesh. But when sin came in, that unity was destroyed, right? Or at least I would say it is broken. So it went from Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and the woman, and were not ashamed. That was the ideal. And then whether it was a month or 2 months or 6 weeks, we don't know exactly how long it was before the serpent came in and tempted Eve, and and not only was she deceived, but man ate knowingly. Eyes are open, and immediately there is shame. Mm-hmm. So Genesis 3:7. So Genesis 2:24-25, everything is wonderful. And just a few verses later, Genesis 3:7 says, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. So who were they covering themselves from? Not from the animal kingdom, not from the trees, not from the rivers or the stars, not from God either. Initially, they were covering themselves
from each other.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't want you to see me now.
Yeah. And that's a aspect of the story I don't think we think about very often.
Yeah, that's difficult to, I mean, kind of wrap your head around or just kind of wrestle with the weight of what that means. There was this closeness, this beautiful intimacy between a husband and a wife. And once sin entered into the world, I mean, other than our relationship with God, the first thing to fracture was our relationship in marriage.
Well, I think that sort of goes back to what you said. That wasn't a natural thing. That wasn't just over time that developed. There was a very cataclysmic event that caused that.
That's right.
I wonder, too, because as a woman, I think about that, and I wonder if what went through her mind, as Eve's mind, was she probably didn't understand, didn't know how to frame it, but self-esteem.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, all of a sudden the self-esteem that she had when it was a perfect world with God and there was that perfect union, all of a sudden it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
And so now she's dealing with a shattered self-esteem.
Yeah, or even like a vulnerability that she's not used to, like a feeling of like, I'm unsafe.
Yeah.
I don't like the way that you're looking at me now.
Yeah.
And I have to stand up for my rights.
Right.
I have to defend myself. I have to prove myself. And I'm not just talking about the woman, but also the man. There's a distinct division that came in. Now, God had made them in his image. So Genesis 2:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So just like there is unity and role differences in the Godhead, right? The Father is the head. The Son follows the lead of the Father. And by the way, he will always do that. We believe in the eternal functional subordination of the Son. Eternal, functional, means it's not in his essence that the Son is less than the Father. It's in his function.
I think we need to really, really hammer that home in this day and age.
Yeah.
Because we hear that on there's so many like red pill podcasts out there that I think are fighting for the right thing in the totally wrong way by reaffirming traditional gender roles like that, but by saying it is an inferior role and you need to be okay with that.
Yeah. You know? That's not how we're looking at
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah.
We're looking at it more biblically, theologically, which is this was in these role distinctions were in the Trinity.
Right.
And then through the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit who is submitted both to the Father and the Son.
Right.
But it's a perfect, beautiful unity. And it was supposed to be in marriage where the man was supposed to lead and the woman was supposed to follow, but the man's leadership was supposed to be a servant leadership.
Right.
And the woman's followership was more out of respect, not out of his superiority, out of respect for his role.
Yeah.
Is that something that you've ever struggled with even in your younger days? Or
that is one of the biggest struggles I feel in any marriage, but our marriage too, is I feel like in the 80s, especially when I was growing up, submission was a dirty word.
Yeah.
And it just, I think it had the wrong connotation, and we learned that wrong connotation.
I think that is still so deeply embedded in people's minds and in society, just the idea of submitting. And with that, there's an inherent idea of weakness.
Yeah.
If I'm submitting to someone, then I'm acknowledging that I am weaker than you.
Which kind of makes us a victim, and we don't want to be in our minds.
Yeah,
in our minds.
Yeah. But the flip side of that, though, is men viewing like submission as now I get to tell you what to do, and it's my way, and I'm the one who calls the shots. And neither idea is correct.
Neither one. I'd heard this one example about submission is, especially when you're talking about your submission to God.
Right.
It's giving him the authority over you. You say, I am giving you the authority over my life, over, you know, to change me. That's to God. And so you're saying that to your husband, that I am actually giving you that authority. But it's not
necessarily to change you, but to lead. To be the head of this home.
Yes, that's giving you that authority. Then because further on in Genesis, and I don't know the reference where it says that God, you know, he comes and then he curses each one. And he says also that the woman's desire will be for the man. And pretty much I believe that's talking about that she's going to always vie for that
right.
leadership or that mm-hmm. control, I think.
Yeah, and I think it kind of goes back to what you were saying about that self-esteem too, that shattered self-esteem, that shattered sense mm-hmm. of self. Because I know when you're confronted with the reality of I have to submit, like you said, there's that weakness which reintroduces that shame. But then knowing that this, like at least with men, there's always that, well, it won't always be this way. Yeah. Whether it's in your career or in ministry or in your own foolish pride or even in your abilities, it's like it won't always be that way. But then for a woman, it's like, no, this is the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And if all goes well, this will be how my marriage is for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking at it, if you look at submission biblically, then it's you are giving him that authority, but he is also leading you as a servant. Mm-hmm. So he's serving you and his family, and he's leading you through that. So if he's serving you mm-hmm. and you're submitting to, so it should,
right?
It should all work together seamlessly, mm-hmm. but we are still dealing with sinful human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a lot there that we can cover. I would say when it comes to these role distinctions, because this is where our culture is struggling with
right.
now.
That's
has
right.
been for, I would say, for a very long, long, long time, mm-hmm. but it started in the 60s. This whole role distinction issue and has sort of ebbed and flowed, but now it's back up again. Mm-hmm. Where now we're in the world where even a woman cannot be a woman without some man claiming to be one.
Right.
I mean, it's just all a topsy-turvy, crazy, mm-hmm. sinful world.
Yeah.
So we must go deeper in the text. And a couple of things I want to point out to you is we need to understand the order and source of creation. If you want to understand how these role distinctions work out, it says in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, the word for dust is afar, which is not really clay, but just a lump of dirt. So when it says that God formed man of the dust, it's like a lump of dirt.
Mm.
Okay? So, I mean, like we can say...
Yeah, men are dirt.
Just dirt, yeah. Like a dirt bag.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's not what it means. This dirt is coming from the ground or Adama. That's
okay,
what ground means. Adama is where we get Adam.
Right.
It's sort of lost in our English because we're saying dust and then we're saying Adam.
You're right. But it's just the
really
ground.
Dirt.
Yeah.
The dirt.
If he had said Adama, then it would make sense why he called him Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then Paul does acknowledge this in 1 Corinthians 1, 15:47 when he says the first man was of the earth.
Yeah.
Right?
He's made of dust.
Then God breathed into him, which is the Nishmat Kaim, breath of life.
Mm-hmm.
And God placed him in the garden, as you know, how everything was. He was lonely. And then it says he caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs. The word for ribs in Hebrew is selah, which can mean rib or side. But what is important is that the woman was made from the man.
So they're equal. They're completely equal in God's sight. But the order is what's relevant. And what does the order imply? Because I think this is where a lot of people get hung up. They think because Adam was created first, he is more valuable. He is the king almost. Mm-hmm.
Right. But it says right here, 1 Timothy 2:13, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And then in 1 Corinthians 11:7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man.
Hmm.
Mm.
That seems like something that just keeps going.
Yeah.
in a circle.
Right.
That verse there, the 1 Corinthians 11:8, for man is not from woman, but woman from man. That's not talking about childbirth. That's talking about original creation.
Yes.
That God created man, and
that's
then
right.
from man he created woman.
Well, I mean, that's even right. think about like just scientifically speaking, like if he had created Eve first, she would have either had to make XY chromosomes, which means she's a man, or XX chromosomes. But then there's no Y chromosomes at all to bring to bring forth. So there's no way Eve could have been created first, right?
So a male has both X chromosomes for females and Y chromosomes for males. So yeah, exactly your point.
Yeah, that's true.
It's so funny how people talk about science being an enemy of religion, but the more you understand science, the more it proves what the Bible has always said.
True.
Man, thank you guys so much. Dr. Shaw and Nicole, thank you. I really enjoyed today's episode. I was taking notes over here while we were talking. Good stuff. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, if it was helpful for you in your marriage or in your understanding of marriage, write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. Also, I want to remind you to visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com and partner with us financially. If you value what's happening through the Clearview Today Show and you want to be part of what God is doing, scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and become part of our Clearview Today Show family. John, what's coming up on tomorrow's episode?
Well, here's the good thing about marriage. If you're married, you're going to wake up tomorrow. Guess what? You're still going to be married.
Amen.
So tomorrow, we're going to continue this conversation on biblical marriage, what that looks like, that sacrificial love, that servitude, and also that submission. What does that actually look like? We kind of talked open-ended today. Yeah. Tomorrow, we're diving into the nitty-gritty.
Love it. Love it. Make sure you guys are here tomorrow. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.